Welcome back to Revive Nations podcast. Revive Nations is a global ministry with one mission: to raise an army of Jesus lovers around the world. Prepare your heart to receive something fresh from the voice of God, Prophet Shaiju Matthew, and be revived, renewed, and restored.
Search of God in a man. How do you search for God in a man? You cannot search for God in a man if you can't separate the God and the man. Because many times the God in the man is masked by the man. And until you have the ability to locate the God in the man, you are unable to pursue the man correctly. Very important for us to understand that the Bible says, in order to make confound the wise, God chose the foolish of this earth. The way God works is that He puts His glory in earthen vessels. Okay, He puts His glory in earthen vessel. Who are the earthen vessels? We are the earthen vessel. God puts His glory in earthen. Why?
Prophet, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world.
Okay. God has chosen whom?
Foolish.
Of the world to do what?
Confound.
So there is somebody on this earth that is saying that they are wise. And God is saying, the way I prefer to do is I choose the foolish ones to confound their wisdom. So if you're seeing God use me, you're also seeing what? You missed it. Did you understand what I'm saying? Because God has a way of taking people that is not usually qualified by people. I have never had somebody come and ask me, what is your college degree? Never. I have spoken to ambassadors, I've spoken to members of parliament. Every single one of them has been confounded by the wisdom of God in me. But if they were to ask me, I would point them out to this verse. Because this is a way God can confuse the wisdom of this world.
But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty.
Okay, did you hear that? So how is the mighty confounded? By the weak. This is God's strategy. This is why most Christians will not get help. Because they've already disqualified something, saying, this is foolishness. Because they had a set expectation of how a Bible college teacher has to preach. They have a set expectation of how a pastor must look. So there's a set expectation of how everything must function. There's a set expectation of, okay, if I want to receive strength, the mighty does not go to where it looks like weak. Are you following what I'm saying? What you don't understand is it's only what it looks like. Because the weak is not weak and the foolish is not foolish. Okay? Are you getting that verse? God has chosen the foolish things of whom? So to the world it is what? But to God, is it foolish? Okay, so there is one such thing that looks foolish to the world. That is what disqualifies them from not able to receive from a man and a woman of God, because to their mind it is foolish. Okay, and then God has chosen
the weak things of the world.
Of, again, weak of what?
The world.
What if I told you the weak of the world is the strength of the things of God? So what looks like weakness in the world is just a way of distracting the wrong people from not eating from that table. So I'm giving you a secret right now. In order for you to really find help in the kingdom, you must have an ability to look at some things that looks foolish on the outside and to be able to peel that layer and say, this is not foolishness, this is greatness. It is covered like foolish, but it is not. And only a child of God is able to differentiate foolishness of this world versus this is a spiritual strength. This is a setup. This is a setup. For the world, it looks like weakness. For the world, it looks like this virgin giving birth to a tiny little baby. And now this baby is going to grow up and is going to be the savior of the world. Foolishness. And the Bible says it was that foolishness that caused them to crucify Christ. It was a setup. It was a setup. So how does God introduce Christ to earth? How does God introduce your man of God, your woman of God to earth? So what does it tell you when you find someone that you can look and it all your checklist? I wanted a man of God like this and I have found him. The way God works is not, he's never going to give you something that you want. He'll always give you something that you need. I'm telling you, when I came to Canada, the first thing I realized was there was a formula to pastor, to being a pastor. A formula. He's there for the birth, the marriage, and the funeral service. That's the best pastor. Oh, he was there for my wedding. They are so happy. Yet the same people who are responsible to feed your spirit. No. So child of God, don't look at the surface and go with what is on the surface. Every man of God, when he begins to really be carried by the Spirit, you will know it by the way it is difficult for you to unlock it. I'll teach you something what my father taught me. He said, a man of God is a vault. Treasure is kept where? In a vault, in a safe. That is what a man of God is. Is a vault. You have to learn how to unlock it. You use the wrong code, it gets locked. There are dimensions that God has hidden in your man of God. There is a reason why Apostle Paul, when he was trying to escape persecution and they were lowering him in a basket. Okay? There were three people that held him in a rope and they brought him down. When they were bringing this man of God in a basket, they were not just bringing a man of God, they were bringing the New Testament down. They were not just bringing a man of God, they were bringing epistles down. They were not just bringing a man of God. They were bringing generations in that basket. That means if one of them had dropped it, they would be dropping New Testament. If one of them dropped it, huh? Because they judged him, saying this 4 feet tall, bald-headed guy, what good can he has no charisma. He put everyone to sleep last week. That was the secret of Paul. In order to tap into Paul, you could never pay attention to him in a service. In a live service, everyone sleeps. That was Apostle Paul. In order for him to tap into Apostle Paul, you couldn't enjoy him in real life. But when he go home, he'll send you one letter. They, you know what they said about his letter? He said, this guy with one letter, he tears everything apart. But when he comes, he's weak. Bodily, he didn't have charisma. He was not charismatic. He didn't have a strong voice. When he preached, people slept and literally fell down and break their neck. It's in your Bible, guys. So those that had Paul had to learn to tap into Paul. They had to say, brother, today don't preach, just write. Here's a book. Man of God, you have a grace to write. When you preach, we are not understanding anything. But when you write, there is a revival. That means that by the time, if they were his members, what should they have done? They should have invested into a good pen. They should have gotten the best paper available in the market. They should have invested into a good printing machine. A book. Huh? A copying machine that could copy his book. But people don't understand how to tap into the man of God. The number of times people think that if you are a servant of Jesus, you are supposed to be available to everyone. Mark chapter 1, not 2. Not Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 1. The Bible says, verse 35, they came to him, said, where were you? People are searching for you. What did Jesus say?
Prophet, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go into the next town, that I may preach there also. Came I.
Can I cause some trouble here? This is your Jesus. Yeesh. This is not Mark chapter 16 where he's done ministry and he's very tired and he said, let's go to the next town. No. Chapter 1. He just started ministry. And he's saying, yalla, let's go. Next town. All of you would have left the church. All of you would have said, this is a bad pastor. He's not a real shepherd. He doesn't care for his sheep. He should have come house visiting. No. All of you would have changed the church. But what did Jesus do? He said, come, let's go to the next town. They didn't know how to tap into the man of God. He was there, but they didn't know how to tap into the vault. They didn't know how to tap into a certain... The number of times the Bible says, Jesus was there in the town, and they could not receive from him because of unbelief. Familiarity. They said, isn't his brother with us? Don't we know his mother and father? The Bible says he couldn't do much in that location. He couldn't heal anybody there. Even Jesus, with all the anointing and the grace, his grace went untapped. So, in order for you to understand this question, you have to understand there is a manner, there is a way that the world is open. And there is also a way the vault gets closed, gets locked. And then the window is lost. And then there is another way to get it open. But most people don't spend a lifetime to learn, because they always think that God is going to help them directly. Did you hear me? They always think that God is going to directly help them, not knowing that not a single human soul God is going to help directly. God appeared to Saul and he said, "Why are you persecuting me?" Okay? And then he said, "Go to Ananias. He will pray and heal. But you are the light. You are Jesus. Why don't you open my eyes?" No, 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 no. The way I prefer functioning is I have hidden it in the man of God. Imagine this guy goes threatening Ananias. Saul would have remained blind for the rest of his life. He would have been a powerful blind man of God. Why? Because his healing was in Ananias' hand. As much as you learn to receive from God, you also must be committed to have the humility to receive from your man of God. Scary. Why? Because your man of God is not perfect. Why? Because your man of God looks foolish. Why? Because your man of God looks weak. And yet that is the way God prefers. He takes an earthen vessel and he puts the glory in there, and he's saying, "Let me see how you can tap into that earthen vessel." That's God's preferred manner of blessing you. And yet we go to God and say, "God, I'm waiting for you." God is like, "Fine. All your blessings I have put here on earth somewhere, given it to somebody's hand in a form of a teaching, in a form of a declaration, in a form of a blessing. I have sent it." Sometimes he sends it to your city.
Prophet, I have it. Prophet, I have it at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us."
Why? That's again, it's saying that's how God masks his grace. Huh? "That the excellency of the power may be of God and not us." So the way God prefers is he uses an earthen vessel, put all the glory. So when you look at the earthen vessel and you're like, "He's an earthen vessel, I am an earthen vessel, he looks like me." Huh? That's why he says about Elijah. Elijah was a man with like passions. Is that in your Bible? But when he prayed, something happened. But yet he's about Elijah, he's saying his passions are like your passions. If you have an anger problem, you should see Elijah's anger problem. He's saying he is just like you. If you feel tempted, he's saying Elijah also feels tempted. But when Elijah starts praying, so if you look at the earthen vessel and you're like, it looks just like me.
Thank you, Prophet. Uh-huh. James chapter 5 verse 17. Okay. "Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are."
As we are.
"And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain."
But the only key is he knows how to pray. But this is how God works. He takes somebody just like you, and you're thinking, "Why in the world should I honor this guy?" Because if he wasn't looking like you, you would have honored him. It would have been easy for you to honor somebody that you think is worthy of honor. This is why God says, give honor where honor is due. That means there are some people around you that are due your honor. Yet North America, we think everybody is equal. We don't honor authority anymore because we feel everyone is the same. But yet, the glory is in a, it's masked in an earthen vessel. It's masked in an earthen vessel. And the craziest thing is you become familiar with that. And it becomes of no advantage to you. Many people stop receiving because they have now become familiar with the grace of God, because they see, I like Star Wars, he also likes Star Wars. And you go around, you put your hand around, oh, you buddy. Oh, God forbid my man of God spends time with me. I want him up on the mountain. Oh, this is how kingdom is, children of God. This is how kingdom is. Can you see through the brokenness? Can you see? If you look at all the great men in the Bible, they were people with broken past. If they were living here today, none of them would have been accepted in the church. And the ones that the church accepts today are not the ones that God uses today. Look at the ones that is denied by the religious leaders. That is how you know something is hidden. When the natural order cannot see it. How does it work in the kingdom? Where the student doesn't feel the need to run after the master. The master is saying, come, I want to mentor you. Jesus said, follow me, and walked away. Not follow me, follow me. How does that work? No. Are you following what I'm saying? You have to ask the Lord, give me the grace to understand the man, the woman that God sends me for my breakthrough. And be committed for a lifetime. Because sometimes it takes a lifetime.
Hello, I'm Tini Matthew. We are so glad that you could join us on this broadcast. I hope that this word has made you hungry and rekindle your passion for the Lord. Just like you fell in love with Jesus the very first time, that you will prioritize Him over everything else in your life. We will be praying for you. Do get in touch with us and let us know where you're watching from. And don't forget to download the Shaiju Matthew app. Until next time, God bless you all. Shalom.
Distance is not a barrier to God. RevivNations.tv is now open to live participation to our services.